version of Michael Lateman's blog. October 26, 2013. A place for the clarification of mutual relationships in a family. Question: in what way does a family workshop in which 5 married couples participate differ from a regular workshop composed of 10 different individuals? Answer: if married couples are in a workshop and not just 10 people, then, in general, there is an internal understanding between them. A common theme for the problem is one that existed in them from the start. Therefore, when we sit them in circle and begin to clarify the problem that each one of them already has felt since birth or is experiencing, then a completely different workshop is created. On the one hand, we need to be more subtle, but on the other hand, there are opportunities for refinement, to deepen this clarification. This is completely different work than in a workshop composed of 10 people. It is intimate because it is not transmitted to the public as in the regular workshops. I don't think it's possible to gather 150 married couples, for this is against the atmosphere that needs to dwell among them. It is enough to take 5 couples, to sit them down on couches around a coffee table, as if it were in a living room, and serve coffee, create a relaxed, warm atmosphere, something that takes them to another, more intimate level. This is an excellent place for them to work on cooperation. It is desirable that the organizers of the workshop also be a married couple. Question: what questions do you recommend be explored among married couples? What would interest them? Answer: first, we clarify which requirements they consider essential for a good existence in a family, and after that we move to clarify if they are truly compulsory. Are our demands regarding a partner correct, or is this just a whim, some kind of secondary demand? What is truly the most important thing without which a family cannot exist? What should be the foundation of the family unit? What would this be for? Together with this, we ask them the kind of questions that are intended to bring them to the conclusion that a family is a means for attaining the next higher level, the higher goal of existence. This is why God divided us into 2 precisely for this, so that, through serious work between us, we would find that singular image in which we will be like Him. As it is written, "And God created man in His own image, in the image of God He created him," Genesis 1:27. Therefore, we need to find the similarity between us, in other words, that characteristic of bestowal, love, and mutuality in order to become similar to the Creator in this aspect. From Cab TV's Through Time, September 21, 2013. How to turn hatred into love. In the news, from the University of Massachusetts Amherst, in a new review of how psychology research has illuminated the causes of war and violence, 3 political psychologists at the University of Massachusetts Amherst say this understanding can and should be used to promote peace and overturn the belief that violent conflict is inevitable. Writing in the current special peace psychology issue of American Psychologist, lead author Bernhard Lildner, Linda Trope and Brian Lickle of UMass Amherst's Psychology of Peace and Violence program say that if social psychology research focuses only on how to soften the negative consequences of war and violence, it would fall far short of its potential and value for society. In summarizing psychological perspectives on the conditions and motivations that underlie violent conflict, says Trope, we find that psychology's contributions can extend beyond understanding the origins and nature of violence to promote non-violence and peace. She adds, we oppose the view that war is inevitable and argue that understanding the psychological roots of conflict can increase the likelihood of avoiding violence as a way to resolve conflicts with others. The authors acknowledge that conflict and violence between groups persist because they often give people ways to address psychological needs for identity, safety, security and power. Nonviolence has received far less media and research attention, they point out, but this should change. The UMass Amherst team urges social psychologists to consider factors that increase empathy and understanding of others, along with factors that increase the capacity for critical evaluation of the in-group. They conclude, research that investigates how to mitigate negative consequences of war and violence is valuable, and the studies they summarize, grounded in realistic insights, support the view that psychology can be applied to promote peace. It is our contention that psychology can and should be applied to promote peace, not war. My comment, this psychology of peace is the method of integral education. Maybe it's time to turn to scientists. Previously, they were not interested in this. The purpose of Kabbalah. Question, why are you so involved with what is happening in the world and society? Is that part of Kabbalah? Kabbalah describes the upper world but not the society of our world. Answer, in the article The Essence of the Wisdom Kabbalah, Balha Sulam defines Kabbalah as the method of revealing the Creator to his creatures in this world, that is, to those who are on a natural, egoistic, level of development. Bringing them to the level of connection between them, to correct the breaking of the single soul, the fall of Adam, so that the Creator is revealed in them is the purpose and objective of Kabbalah. This is realized by integral education and upbringing in order to unite people into one whole, like in one boat, in mutual guarantee, avut. This is everyone's inner work on himself, carried out in the collective. That is why Kabbalah is called the internal Torah or the true Torah. And the Torah is a remedy against egoism, as it is said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. Therefore, Kabbalah is revealed right now for the realization of the global spiritual project, the correction of the evil human nature. To the extent of the correction of egoism, in its corrected part, the human being feels, instead of egoism and unfounded hatred, the property of bestowal and love for the other in which the higher management, the upper world, is felt, and in it, the upper governing, correcting and fulfilling force, the Creator. The conductor with the superconductivity of love. Question, I don't understand when you explain that we need to be a transmission channel, a pipeline between the Creator and humanity. Does this mean that I will feel absolutely nothing? Answer, a pipeline is love. I have nothing, but I want to give my loved one the whole world. This is called to be a pipeline, a conduit. I will connect one end to my loved one with all my power of love and the other end to the Creator. But for the Creator, I feel a different kind of love. I want him to be revealed in the place that I am taking care of, where he presides among his creations and is pleased by it. It turns out that I am concerned about the Creator being revealed inside of the created beings, that this will make the created beings and the Creator feel good. But I myself want to be just a pipeline that connects them. I enjoy the fact that this has happened. I want him to be revealed in the place that I care for, reigned among his creations and got pleasure from it. It turns out that I'm worried about the Creator revealed in the works, that this made good creatures and the Creator. This is called a perfect faith. The light of Hasidim is revealed in me and inside it, the light of Chokmah, and all this for the sake of bestowal. From the talk during the meal October 23, 2013.